Hey there, Wedding Pro. Are you using AI to its fullest potential in your business yet? Or have you been experimenting with ChatGPT with mixed results? I get it, and I figured out the hacks to get AI to help wedding pros elevate your brand, streamline your content creation, and more. And we're sharing it in our AI-powered Brand Voice Mastery for Wedding Pros guide, located in the Planner's Vault shop. This guide is filled with prompts, insights, and expert guidance on how to use AI quickly, powerfully, and accurately for your business needs. Whether you want to inject more personality into your copy or create more engaging social media content or communicate your unique value proposition more effectively, this guide is your key to unlocking the full potential of AI in your business journey. Grab your copy now at theplannersvault.com/shop. Or click the link in the show notes. Okay, friends, let's start the show. If you're looking to grow your business, a hard realization that you may have had already, or you're eventually going to come to it, is that you can only go so far if you do it alone. If you're a wedding planner, maybe you can do 25 to 40 weddings a year by yourself. If you're a DJ, maybe 50 to 75 weddings. An officiant? Well, you could probably do 100 weddings a year. But no matter what, there's a limit in how much you can make, unless you build a team. Of course, that comes with its own complications and headaches, like a lot of complications and headaches. And it's because of those complications and headaches in our industry that I like to bring on guests regularly to cover team building. In fact, we last covered team building with my friend Ashley Ebert from the Abundance Group back on episode 171, where we tackled three myths of team building. Today's episode brings in another expert and focuses on making sure you have the right people in the right roles and that you're looking at your business with a focus on marketing. I'm Megan Gilligan, and on episode 189 of the Weddings for Real podcast, we're talking to a dream team architect who's going to give us all the team building tips. Let's get to it. Hey there, I'm Megan Gilligan, and this podcast is for fellow wedding pros that know what it really takes to thrive as a professional in the wedding industry. Because it's not what they show you in the movies. Spoiler alert, it takes more than a wave of a wand or the toss of confetti to take someone's special day from big idea to big success. This podcast is a wedding professional's safe space to laugh and dish about the glitz, the not so glam, and all things weddings, for real. My guest today is Veronica Romney, Dream Team Architect and former Chief of Staff for brands such as Tony Robbins, Dean Graziosi, Pete Vargas, and Boss Babe. With these brands and others, Veronica helped them build the right teams, and she has a specific lens that she looks through.
I have been in a 15-plus year relationship with my boyfriend marketing. I have never strayed. I graduated with my degree in global marketing. I've worked in a number of corporate environments in marketing capacities. I've been an entrepreneur with marketing as a specialty. And today, at the highest level, I'm just really a business consultant. But my specialty as a dream team architect is architecting teams for online entrepreneurs, right? And I'm really, really passionate about building marketing dream teams in particular, because those are the departments that are the most churned and burned in our industry, and a desperate need for entrepreneurs who don't want to be the full-time marketers of their business. So that's where I come in as a long-time marketing rainmaker myself, and now helping people get out of the weeds and out of their own way.
Get out of their own way. I feel that literally every single day. How can I get out of the way of my team so they can do their jobs? Honestly, it's exhausting and at times overwhelming, but Veronica gives us a reminder of why we do this.
Being an entrepreneur is a sense or pursuit of freedom, right? So freedom of time, freedom of choice, but freedom of financial freedom, right? Like that's why everybody's like, screw the big man and the chair. We're just going to do our own thing. But then we get to a place where like, it kind of feels like you're in your own little office, your own little world in like a padded room. And you're like, I'm lonely. So either your aspirations will require a team beyond yourself to keep going, or you yourself miss working, because we are social creatures. We miss working with our peers. So then people start bringing people to the party. We start building out a team. And for me, a dream team is a team that I can trust, one, in my absence, if I were to go on a vacation, right? Like, can you hold the fort down for me? But then a dream team is also a team that is happy for me when I go on vacation, right? Like I have joy to see them thriving and this business providing them a means to provide for their family and their life. And they too are happy for me as we have success and I can also enjoy my life. Like that's the dream team where you are your most authentic self amongst your friends and your team.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I have heard from people that I've done coaching with is they start to go down the road of, okay, I want to grow my team. I want to bring people on. Maybe they've tried in the past and they've hired someone and they're like, I don't have the right people. I don't know. Maybe I'm not meant to have a team. Like it didn't work out. I don't know if I should try it again. Do you hear that a lot as well?
Yeah. And I think about that with parenting. I'm like, wait, why did I do this? Like, this is really hard. It's the same idea, right? I mean, if any of us really understood what being a parent was, I don't know if anybody would really do it because we're never prepared. We don't know what we're going to get. And yet we're supposed to love and care for these little ones. So it's the same idea. Like you're working with human beings that have their own strengths and weaknesses and aspirations. And it's working with humans is not easy, even the best humans. You have the good days, you have the bad days, good moments, bad moments. But I often find that where a lot of the unhappiness comes from or the deflation that one might feel when they first set out to start building a team is because they've mismanaged their own expectations of what it's going to be like.
Tell me more.
Well, okay. So like, for example, like, okay, I'm going to build a team. I'm going to invite people to the party. So let's say I do this because I don't want to do X, Y, Z, or I'm tired of doing X, Y, Z. So like, okay, I'm going to hire a second photographer. I'm going to hire an assistant to help me do all the admin crap I just don't want to do. So they're really excited because they think this person's going to come and they're going to take all the bad stuff that they don't want to do. What they don't realize is you might not technically maybe doing the bad stuff, but you certainly still have oversight of the bad stuff. And you are still the one accountable if the stuff doesn't get done correctly or to your standard. And now, you're not the one necessarily taking the pictures, but if the pictures don't come out right and your client's not happy, guess what? It's with you.
Yeah.
So then it puts more pressure on you to replicate yourself, to define what success and the success criteria is, to train properly. And guess what? That takes time. So they feel like, okay, I'm going to bring people to my team because that's going to save me time. And then they don't take into consideration the amount of time it's going to take to invest in the asset to help you save time in the long run, right? That short-term investment is actually very time consuming if you don't plan for it or realize it.
Yeah. And then sometimes you bring that person on, you're not fully equipped to train them. Your expectations aren't maybe in line. So that person is not happy in the position and they quit. And then you're left like, maybe I wasn't meant to grow my team.
Yeah. Well, I think a great entrepreneur is somebody who tries to look at themselves first and foremost and go, okay, what did I do incorrectly? Or what could I have done better? I think there's introspection. There's a sense of reflection. If you've ever read the book, Extreme Ownership by Jocko, like really great, right? Like it's before I point the finger externally, what could I have done better to have this be a different outcome? More often than not, however, I don't really see that. I think that's more the exception or the minority. I feel like a lot of the time, because it's just the natural man in us, is to actually point the finger externally. Well, they weren't honest in their resume, or they overinflated their skill, or they, like, there's a lot of finger pointing at the other and not enough to ourselves and what we could have done better to set someone up for success.
Yeah. Well, let's say you're speaking to someone that is feeling, so what we're in right now in the wedding industry, they're calling it the wedding boom, right? So there's more weddings in 2022 than, you know, the last several decades. People are feeling the growth, and perhaps that growth is feeling a bit overwhelming. Like they're drowning in it. If it's time for them to look at what might come next in a team dynamic, is there a certain hire that you, is there a certain way to look at like your skill set and say, okay, these are the areas that I kind of feel like I suck in, and maybe that's where I hire first? Or what's your recommendation there?
That's a fair question. So if your listener is somebody who has not yet, like, let's say break the $1 million ceiling of revenue, then everybody that you hire at this point should be somehow connected to revenue generating activity or a means in which you can produce more revenue. So for example, like you said, the wedding industry is going through a boom. Everybody that put off their wedding for 2 years in a pandemic is like, nope, we're doing it now before another pandemic. Who the heck knows what's going to happen in 2023 or beyond? Like, you know, monkeypox. Everybody's scared. Who knows? So everybody's rushing. Everybody that was on hold is now getting married or everybody just falling in love. I don't know. Let's see. A combination of all things. Let's just stay positive. Cupid's really busy right now, right?
I love it.
So, okay. There is more demand than I have capacity. So when you're thinking about building a team, well, there's demand, which means more money is potentially on the table if I had more capacity. So you want to bring people to your party that can increase your capacity. So more photographers, more videographers, more calligraphers, whatever. Like, it's certainly if you're a service provider, you want to bring people so that you can generate and you can basically collect that demand. You're not channeling demand. You're not creating demand. Mm-hmm. You are literally harvesting demand that's already coming your way. So might as well bring somebody that can help you in a capacity uptake. Now, there are some people who are like, hey, it's not so much that I have too much work at my door and I can't fulfill it. I would actually like more work. I would like to actually do more things to generate more demand and bring more business into the business. When you're less than seven figures, this might be controversial, but I feel like there's nobody better to sell for you and your company than you. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I think people try to hire sales oriented people when really I rather hire somebody to get rid of all the activity so that I can do more selling.
Yeah. So you can be like the visionary and the connection point for your clients.
No one will have more conviction for what you do and the passion behind why you do it than yourself. And I know that people hate sales. And so they like want to like just throw sales at somebody else. I say this all the time. I think that's really, really ill-advised when you outsource your social media or you outsource your selling too soon, because what you're basically doing is you're distancing yourself from the people who are validating your offers. And if your offer isn't 100% validated, or you know there's room for improvement, then why would you distance yourself from that feedback of your potential clients and customers?
Yeah.
So I rather, whether it's admin support, a marketing assistant, or I rather have somebody, even literally between us, even if that means somebody in the home, let's say it's not even around your team. Let's say it's somebody part-time in your house who can help you with like all of your mom or wife or home making chores. Mm-hmm. Like 2 hours not doing laundry is 2 hours I could be doing sales calls or going to a chamber event or going to a local event where I can generate new business.
Yeah.
So I think of it that way. Like, what can I add to my team that would free me not to do more admin crap, but to do more revenue generating activity?
Yeah, I love that idea. And I think the fact that you spoke to potentially two different people, right? Like you're speaking to someone that's like, okay, the demand is there. I need to bring in more people to meet the demand. Yeah. Or if you're looking at your business and you're saying, I want to create more revenue generating for my business, but I can't right now because I personally don't have the time. Instead of saying, I'm going to hire a sales person to do the sales, you need to be the face of your business until you reach that seven figures. Yes. And then.
Yeah. Because theoretically at that point, when you're generating that much money, you know, the sales machine or the path to a successful close has already been defined. And now you can like successfully hand that to someone else who can help you achieve that objective. But when you're still in those early stages, those multiple six figures, like you are literally, you or your mom or dad are the best salespeople that you could possibly have. Like, I remember when I started my marketing agency, my dad was the number one hustler for me. He would like sell somebody at church if he could. He was just, I mean, bless him, but generally speaking, it was me. I made this business. This is my baby, my passion, my why. There's nobody better that can communicate that than me.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. So in that case, look at outsourcing, whether it's things in your home, whether it is, what about things like bookkeeping? And I mean, I'm a big proponent of outsourcing that because that's not my personal area of expertise.
Well, and you can screw it up. So not only is it not your area of expertise, I think on a risk standpoint, and this has unfortunately very much happened to me. I've gone through either me or my husband attempting to do my bookkeeping in those early stages, mm-hmm. or even hiring the wrong bookkeepers. There's actually like pretty significant consequences if you don't file things correctly. So like, because of the level of risk and because there's no way in double H hockey stick that that has anything to do with your zone of genius. Yes. Let's get rid of that if mm-hmm. possible. I mean, it's not the most time consuming thing. If you really think about it, like you might look at it, you know, but if you're invoicing every day or you're sending out bills every day, it's not a bad idea to get somebody that can help you for a couple hundred dollars a month.
Yeah. Yeah. And then someone too, like one of the early members that I had on my planning team was someone that could help manage my inbox and help like send out proposals. I would do the sales portion of it, but she would do the
paper.
Yes. And that to me was such a relief.
Yeah. Cause it shaves off 20 minutes here, shaves off 30 minutes here. No, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, they seem inconsequential on their own, but then if you were to like add them all up on a little calculator, like 5 minutes here, 10 minutes here, 15 minutes here. However, I'm just going to say this because it's like, I have to say it.
Let's do it.
I find more often than not that people don't replace those 5, 10, 20, 30 minute increments with revenue generating activity. They just fill it with more stuff. And that's when I get frustrated, because that requires an insane amount of discipline to be intentional about your time versus letting your calendar, your inbox, or everything else dictate what you prioritize that day.
Okay. I'm absolutely guilty of that.
You all are. We all are.
Yeah, you're right. It's like, I have hired support roles in my team, but what I tend to do, mm-hmm. unless I'm really on it and really intentional about that CEO time, is I fill it up with additional, you 100%. Know, yeah.
Ugh, it's like a whack-a-mole game that never ends. So you have to like, and that's why you see so many people, productivity experts will tell you to like block out your calendar, blah, 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 or like turn off all your notifications. And it works. Like my phone literally has no notifications on right now. I've obviously we're recording a podcast, but like normally between the hours of like even 9 to 12 every day, I try not to be in anything that's like blinking at me. And I'll even put on my calendar, like the first 30 minutes or whatever is like, okay, I got to get on social media. I really don't want to be on social media. It's really hard for me. I'm just going to like pop it on, get it out of the way. And then I go straight into like an hour, hour and a half of what I call RGA. That comes from my husband, who's in corporate sales. It's revenue generating activity time. And that's when I'm literally just doing revenue generating activity. And that could be getting somebody on a podcast for myself or being on somebody's podcast. That could be for me submitting myself for a TED talk or a speaking engagement. That could be me, you know, reaching out to 10 ideal clients that I would love to have on my portfolio. You know, like it's all of that.
You're blowing my mind here. I love this idea. And I think the way I got connected to you was through Ashlyn Carter, who is on the podcast as well. And I remember her mentioning your name. And I think it was tied to the idea of the way that she, like, I believe it was like the way that she structured her team, as well as like her business as a 7-figure business and how she spends her time in the mornings and the ways I think that that's really super helpful to hear.
Speaking of Miss Ashlyn Carter, who we are both obsessed with, Queen Ashlyn, all day long. And she's so humble. She wouldn't even accept that compliment. Nope. We said it to her, but me and her literally just had a genie session. So I have a program called the Rainmaker Residency. It basically builds marketing leaders so that you don't have to be the marketing leader of your company. You can be the CEO. And so she's in the program with me. And part of that is hour long genie sessions where I'm like, what's your wish? And we just talk about it. And we had a whole dialogue about how to like not be the bottleneck, because now at her level, she has a team. And yet she still feels like, oh, I feel like I'm letting everybody down. And I feel like by making sure that the team's not blocked in their day, I'm not getting the things that I want to do myself. Like whether it's writing time, because she is a very much self-identified writer. For you, it might be another creative outlet. Whatever your biggest contribution is, whether it's content creation, RGA, which is revenue generating activity, like whatever is the most important activity when you build a bigger team. Now you have baby chicks who are going to be like chirping at you because they're hungry. And quite frankly, sometimes you're even the bottleneck in their way. So then she feels like she's waking up, and instead of doing the thing that she knows will move the needle the most, or at least like fire her up and pour into her cup, she feels like she needs to feed the chicks. And if you're not careful about that, you'll start to resent your own chicks because you'll look at them like, oh, these chicks are standing in the way of me doing what I really want to do. And then therefore liking my business more. So we had a whole dialogue about restructuring her day so that she prioritizes the thing that fills up her cup the most. And once she gets that done, she already before the day has officially started from a CEO perspective, she feels like she's been productive for her day.
Genie sessions.
What's your wish?
I mean, what you described is exactly probably my biggest pain point in my business right now is I feel like I am the bottleneck. I've said that for so many years. It's like, mm-hmm. I'm the bottleneck that is holding up mm-hmm. the growth and progress mm-hmm. of my team.
Yeah. Mm. Well, and I'll tell you what, here's the invitation, Megan, like the invitation now is if you can master this today, then what awaits you, the promise is that your company is no longer owner dependent. And I don't know what your personal aspirations are for your company. If you always want to have it, it's a really lucrative lifestyle business that you can take the money and then put it in other wealth generating activity, or you want to sell it one day and liquidate it. But like owner dependency is one of the number one villains to either one of those narratives for you. Mm. So if you can master the gift and the discipline of not being a bottleneck to your company, the promise is actually quite nice on the other side.
Oh, so good to hear. Well, question for you, because in your program, the Rainmaker program, so you mentioned bringing in like a chief marketing officer, right? Like this is your number two. How is that? I've read the book Rocket Fuel, which talks about your visionary and your integrator. So this is not an integrator.
No. Number one, big fan of Gina Wickman. Mm-hmm. If I have a friend who is currently working with him and I like literally geek out all the time, like Laura. I love Gino. She's like, love Gino, you know? but no, I love Traction, love Rocket Fuel, love the idea that there is a Walt Disney who is that visionary type. And then there was like Roy Disney, who is like the brother who was like the integrator. So like, I love the idea that one gets to dream and one gets to do. Mm-hmm. But that's not what the Rainmaker residency is. In fact, integrators are leaders. It's like a leader of leaders. So companies that don't even have other leaders, it just puts all the pressure on just the integrator to be the second CEO, which is all you're doing to me is transferring burnout from the CEO to the integrator. Call what you want to call it, but that's what you're doing at certain stages of business. So, and also I think Gina Wickman would probably say the exact same thing. Traction is a book that helps all business types. I am very much in particular specialize in online centric organizations, marketing centric organization, personality forward brands, mm-hmm. which is like a different world, right? Content creators, influencers, info product, expert run businesses, right? So the Rainmaker residency is not an integrator. It is somebody who's responsible for the marketing effort, team, department, activities. And there's a lot of title inflation in our industry. So that's why you don't even see, like I could have called the program Chief Marketing Academy. I did not on purpose because CMOs are actually like, again, extremely expensive people that have a very particular skill set and experience background to even be called a chief. And most companies under seven figures shouldn't have chief anything. Like that's, that's a different arena. So I call them rainmakers because it can be a marketing manager, a director of marketing, head of marketing. I don't really care. In fact, my preference would be just to call somebody a marketing rainmaker if you're in this industry, mm-hmm. because that's what they're doing. They're rainmaking for this type of business in this very unique arena, making it rain, turning prospects into customers the very first time.
Wow. Okay. So let's say you're talking to someone in the wedding industry that has built out a team, like we'll say a planning team. Yeah. This is a wedding planner that has several planners on their team, maybe multiple locations, maybe that they're serving across the United States. And there's the growth, but it feels a little bit clunky. They feel like they are the bottleneck in the business. The revenue is growing year after year. Yeah. Is there any specific advice that you share with them that translates from who you're serving right now?
Certainly. And when you're in these kind of multiple six figures scenario, it's like you've done a decent job and you've generated enough demand and wealth in your business where it's like you and probably several doers or individual mm-hmm. contributors. And then you're going to get to a place where you're like, I can't be the one that serves them. And I can't be, because like as the business gets bigger, the opportunities get bigger too. Mm-hmm. Now you have more exposure. Your name is better known. You have the opportunity to go speak or be on a podcast or to do these kind of visionary level KPIs, which is like basically messaging moments. You're out there sharing the mission, the vision, the why of your company better than anybody else. The spokesperson, you're like, you are the gecko, you are flow, you are, you know what I mean? Like you are the person. But the more you go out of the house of your company, the more that that your family or your kids on the inside, if we're using that analogy, are like parentless. Mm-hmm. So at some point you're going to feel that tension where like you need another parent inside. And depending on, again, it depends on where in the business that you're feeling the pinch. Is it that your sub planners or sub fulfillment personnel need better support? And if you're gone for a week at a mastermind, they're completely like leaderless, then we're going to need kind of an operations leader, a fulfillment leader, or a customer centric leader. Mm-hmm. If that's not the pain is like, hey, I have a bunch of marketing vendors. I have an ads manager. I have my social media manager. Let's say I have this person or that person, and they're just all waiting around me for me to tell them what to do with the sales page. Then you're going to want a rainmaker. The rainmaker is going to be that leader in your absence to help you execute marketing while you go and speak on behalf of the company for them.
Wow. And you train
rainmakers.
Very cool.
I make them, I develop them. It's a leadership development program. It's not, let me also articulate this. It's not skill. There's lots of courses to teach you how to do ads, how to write copy. Like there's lots of marketing skill education and courses and curriculums. That's not what this is. This is leadership development, helping somebody manage and be accountable to people and KPIs.
That's phenomenal. I don't know of anything like that out there.
There's not, as far as I know, there's a lot of certifications and programs to build operators, and those are desperately needed, but they are often abandoned because the expectation is they can also be marketing leaders and it's not the same.
Yeah.
And so like I'm helping them build their best friend.
Wow. So, you know, with marketing in the wedding industry, I think one of the things that probably feels really overwhelming right now is that there are so many places to show up, so many places that could be potential revenue generating opportunities. How do you evaluate like where the return on investment is going to be if you it's a different world than what it was in 2019 when all of these opportunities were present. And I think there's so much push for these small businesses show up on TikTok, be on Instagram. You got to make sure that you're creating reels, and you also should show up at these in-person networking events because that's back. And then don't forget like these 1700 other places to show up as well.
Oh gosh. You're so right. And I mean, you felt this way. I certainly have felt this way. Like crap, like I gotta get on Instagram, gotta get on TikTok. Oh, my YouTube channel. What the hell? Like there is certainly a, because of the online opportunity and because of the platforms that are free and accessible. And then you hear all these success stories where this guy like took off on TikTok and now he makes $1 million on TikTok. So there's FOMO and then there's like, oh. So anyways, there's a lot of, I think, mental junk with all of that, that like makes you feel like you're behind. That's like the constant feeling like I'm behind. Let's just stop. My parents had a very successful business for 32 years off the Yellow Pages. And before there was the internet and Yellow Pages, there was just good old fashioned word of mouth. So like, I think that we have to stop telling ourselves that if we're not everywhere, we're nowhere. That's not true. In fact, I know of very successful businesses that have like no web presence that are just raking in cash because of really, really thoughtful word of mouth initiatives, people knowing people, people recommending people. I will speak for myself. Right. As a marketer, I know that there's an abundance of opportunity inside of social media, inside of search marketing, inside of paid marketing, inside of relationship marketing. Like there's endless communication microphones at my disposal. I just have to be authentic to myself and what I prefer to do, and then get smart and how I can like utilize it or repurpose it. So something that I teach even inside of the Rainmaker residency, for example, because I mean, at seven figures, these people have to produce content, even if they never sold anything. Like at that level of exposure and notoriety, they feel like they have to create content at such an insane volume level, even if they're never launching and like actually making and converting that audience, which is nuts, right? It's like its own beast within the company. So we talk about that a lot. Like how do you feed the content monster without experiencing that content creator burnout that affects like 90% of the industry? It's really, really bad. So my advice, and this is what I tell people, it doesn't matter if you're Boss Babe, Vanessa Lau, Jordan Page, Pete Vargas, like it doesn't matter the creator type. Everybody has a preference. I say honor your preference. If you genuinely don't like TikTok or you don't like the dancing monkey that you feel like you need to be, then don't do it. Mm-hmm. For me, I built a very, very, very successful company from just relationship marketing. Literally relationship marketing. Now, I do relationship marketing at kind of like what I would say a Navy SEALs level. I don't just like hope for it. I'm extremely intentional with my relationship marketing efforts, but then I'll double down on everything I do. So for example, let's say I do a genie session or I do a power hour. Okay. Well, I can take that content and I can hand it to my social media manager and then she can cut it up and she can put on social media for me. Okay. Whew, that serves that purpose right there. Right. Or I can put some of that dialogue or convert that into a blog and that puts it on my website. Like, and I know that we've talked about, you know, content repurposing and there's a lot of people that will talk about it, specialize in it. However, let's go back to just you, the creator, you, the CEO, stop telling yourself you have to be everywhere. But if you're going to do one channel or one thing, just do it with all that you got and don't take your foot off the gas. So for me, that is relationship marketing. I, at this stage of with my children, the ages that they are, I don't aspire to be a brand of the masses, if that makes sense. Like, especially because I've been behind the brands of the masses. Mm-hmm. It's not always the greatest life. I'll be really honest with you. There's a sense of paranoia and scarcity that is a whole other beast that we could get into in a different podcast. But for me, I want intimacy. I want proximity. I want to serve people closer and deeper than just superficial. And so for me, it just takes one or two clients. Like for me, it just takes one or two connections at higher rates than selling cheaper services for more people. So I think those are questions that I would invite your people to ask themselves. Like, do you really want more business or do you want less clients that are just paying you more money? Because that seems like a better business model than anything else.
100%. 100%. Oh my gosh. Speaking so much truth. And I imagine oftentimes when I'm recording this, I imagine someone listening to it on the other end, being in their car, in the shower, making dinner and hearing just that, like what you just shared and being like, well, dang, yes. Like that's, I knew that, but I needed to hear it. I needed to hear it in that way. So I think that is a really great message to close on, is to take a moment to evaluate what your actual goals are right now with your business, and also give yourself grace and forgiveness that just because everyone out there is telling you you're supposed to be everywhere, you're supposed to show up on all these platforms. And if you're not, then your business is going to fail. That's not actually true. And, and you should unsubscribe from that message.
Say it again. Yes. Unsubscribe. I love that. Opt out.
Opt out. Well, Veronica, I would love for those that are listening to this, that are interested in learning more about you, about the Rainmaker program that you have, where can they connect with you?
So the Rainmaker Residency is just that, rainmakerresidency.com. And you can check out how special this program is and how I make rainmakers for visionary CEOs. But you can also just connect with me everywhere at VRomney on social media or veronicaromney.com.
Amazing. I love this conversation. Didn't realize how much I personally needed it. And I know that it's going to serve everyone else as well. So thanks so much for your time.
So welcome.
That was Veronica Romney, who you can find at veronicaromney.com or rainmakerresidency.com. So I'd love to hear from you. Have you struggled to build your team? And what are you doing about it to get off the struggle bus? You can post your thoughts in our Weddings for Real Facebook group or on Instagram. Be sure to tag us. We're at Weddings for Real. That's all for today. As always, this episode is edited and produced by Earfluence and is brought to you by my online membership site for wedding planners, The Planner's Vault. I'm Megan Gilligan, and I'll see you next time on Weddings for Real.